everyone, and welcome to Cinema Gems. We are located in a video store somewhere near you, only this week that video store is the annex of the usual one. That's right, you get Butt Maestro up at the top of the show because we're recording in the annex with my equipment. And I have as my guest today the person who usually starts off this show, the Admirable Admiral.
Hello!
As the fantastic Miss Frida and the Honorable Tesla, who are chilling on the ground on a pillow provided by the Annex, with a blanket also provided by the Annex, and the fantastic Miss Frida is trying to get up in my lap.
And a beautiful gray sweater.
Yep. Hi, Admiral!
Hey!
Welcome back to the Annex.
We're in person!
New Orleans.
We're in person! We're touching hands!
Like, y'all can hear us, we're on the same mic for once. It's wild.
Oh, wait! I'm sorry! Since you did my thing, I gotta do your thing.
Try.
We are two other angry nerds that are on. We're two other movie nerds that are on the internet somewhere. So we know you could pick someone else, but thanks for picking us.
I'm gonna call that close enough. Good job, Admiral.
Let's go sell the cats and horseshoes and hand grenades and atomic weapons.
Listen up, it works for a free podcast. Yeah. But welcome back to Cinema Gems, y'all. This is kind of a special episode for us, not because of the subject matter that you read on the website, hopefully on lowrainpictures.com, but because of like three other things. And we are going to talk about Jury Duty a little bit.
But so I have the 50% off from Central Florida AMC specifically. Altamont, specifically Altamont.
Okay.
Lord of the Rings.
Get a little bit closer to the mic, Gap.
Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim.
Rohirrim.
Damn! Thought I had it right.
Rohirrim.
Rohirrim.
It's not difficult. But anyway, we have two surprise pin boxes that, before the show, GLaDOS assigned randomly one to each of us. And we're going to open them on air.
Yep. So you go first, and I'll discuss what's going on. All right, so he's open it. Okay. It's a it's a black bag that he can't see through. So he's opening it. He's feeling.
No idea what's in this.
He's opening it. Let's see what we got.
And it is.
Oh, it's turned over.
So on the back, it's got Lord of the Rings, War of the Rohirrim. And it is the Rohan flag. It is a red flag with gold embellishments with a white horse on the front.
It is. Look at it. Okay. So,
I believe that is specifically, I mean, it is one of the Rohan flags, obviously.
All right, so I'm going to open mine now. Oh, let's see.
Cinema Gems ASMR, y'all.
Oh, I got a green and orange flag, which I prefer the colors green and orange, with a little pony around a,
oh, that's really cool,
around a crown. Of what looks like.
So I'm sure these flags correspond to different characters within the movie. I don't know off the top of my head which ones go with
I'm in the middle. Mine's in the middle. Yours is on the side.
Do you want to take pictures of our pins and put them on whatever social media we're still on? Which isn't any of the metas.
Or you mean Letterboxd? Letterboxd, yeah, that take one. Pictures?
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait. Well, I already have a picture of Tesla and Frida as our profile picture. So I don't want that to be our profile picture. But maybe I can have that be our
little side thing,
or whatever the main.
I don't know how Letterboxd.
I don't know
works.
The main thing. Yeah.
The Admiral has talked about it for several weeks now, and I still haven't.
You should join.
Maybe.
You should join.
That's cute. Thank you for the pins, Admiral.
No problem. Literally, in between double features with the Patron, and goes, "Hey, do you think I should get the Butt Maestro and I both mystery boxes and open in person?" Yeah, you should. I got these in January. Why are they 50% off in January when the movie came out in December?
Probably because the movie didn't do as well as the studio wanted it to, because it was poorly advertised and
kept moving the different weeks.
I'm also going to blame the general factors of sexism.
Yes. Oh, the Fantastic Frida is pulling one of the blankets that's under the Honorable Test.
I'm just saying, if you're on a date with a guy and you get talking about War of the Rohirrim and he didn't like War of the Rohirrim because of the female lead, red flag, run away.
Yeah.
That's a red flag. We don't take
kindly. That's your Fantastic Miss Frida.
To that kind of sexism on this show. That being said, you read the thing on lowrainpictures.com or wherever you're listening to this podcast on. So you know we're supposed to be talking about the Pauly Shore movie, Jury Duty.
From 1995.
Which the Admiral and I just watched in this very room less than 30 minutes ago, with minimal interruptions.
Which, by the way, the next movie review next week also came out in 95.
Oh my god, these movies came out at the same... Yeah.
Okay.
Next, we're going to have to explain to people the jump from Pauly Shore to Paul Verhoeven. Because it's a jump.
Is that it? We're not giving any other
explanations? I'm not giving any other explanations for what that movie is going
to
be.
Because if you go back and listen a couple weeks ago, somebody special that was on here did say he loves Paul Verhoeven movies.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me to specifically cut that out. And guess what? I literally do. It says the person's name shows his love for Paul Verhoeven films. Literally saved it. So
Jury Duty.
Okay, so I have something to say. I have something to say.
Go for it.
So have you seen the advertisement for Juror Number 2 recently?
I don't know if I think I have.
So it's supposedly Clint Eastwood's last directorial that he's going to do.
Oh, I probably have seen that. Okay, cool.
It came out last year, right?
Okay.
So I feel that Clint Eastwood saw Jury Duty from 1995 on some random streaming service and goes, I can turn that into a drama.
So 12 Angry Men.
Yeah. Not The Firmest, though. We know about that movie because we watched a Pauly Shore film.
So this is a Pauly Shore movie, meaning it's its own flavor. Crude,
crass?
Crude, crass, absurd, unrealistic, in a similar vein to the Carrot Top movie. But
I still think Encino Man's better than this.
I think Encino Man's better than this. I also think that the Carrot Top movie has more prop slapstick, where this has more stupid dude doing stupid things in the moment. Surrounded by somewhat intelligent people, except until they're not. The best parts of this movie are Pauly Shore's dog, Peanut.
Yep.
Who's the best.
And has this weird obsession with Jeopardy.
Which you had a theory that, what happened to the dog?
Well, okay, I'm gonna specify that, but you said the other one, that's one of two things. So Peanut.
Oh, and the other is Stanley Tucci. And we'll get into exactly why later into this review, because in case you haven't seen this movie and want to watch it, good luck finding it. But the how do I don't know.
So my theory about Peanut.
Yes, please.
Okay, so we open on, well, first of all, we open on the drive-through killer. This is literally a serial killer that kills drive-through attendees or employees.
Or essential workers, as they've been called since COVID.
Correct. So this somewhat homeless person, he does have like the remnants of a house that's probably been condemned under a freeway for a couple years.
Okay.
Gets accused of being the drive-through killer. Then it opens up as Pauly Shore is doing what seems to be day tryouts for a Chippendales style adult entertainment. I think that specifies it, since this is a family show.
Look, again, this is going to be 2 weeks in a row us really doing our best to describe a movie that is absolutely not meant to be watched by or around children or people under 18 to an audience that might or might have lower than 18 year olds in the car with them while they listen to this.
Yeah, which, by the way, we thank you for doing your random chores and things that you need to get done while listening to us.
We're glad to be a part of your life, whatever you happen to be doing while you're listening to this weird show. We're going to do our best to keep it clean. But if you're familiar with this movie, you know that's going to be a little bit difficult for certain scenes. So Pauly Shore, Tommy Collins, starts as, Wikipedia calls him, an erotic dancer. I feel like that's the closest we can get while being more or less PG.
Yeah, no. So after, which, by the way, there is kind of a
immediately
transphobic moment.
There's some blatantly transphobic moments in this movie. Twice as we can see. For laughs. He immediately flunks that audition, loses that job. I loved the moment where all the jocks get around the sign-up board oh my God, he got it. He got
Yeah,
it. It was
they're all.
really, it was very theater kid coded.
It was positivity. It was what you want to see in men that can literally pick you up and
men
love
lifting
you.
Each other up. Absolutely.
Oh, it's beautiful. But the cream machine was Pauly Shore's name.
Ew. That's all I have to say about that scene. Ew.
He did not make it.
Nope.
And his uncle ran the bar?
Yeah, it was some weird nepotism that did not go in his favor. But then he is unemployed, and of course he is fulfilling the, I'm going to say, like, 90s to 2000s stereotype of
stoner?
Unemployed stoner bum who can't get a job because they won't get a job.
Down on his luck.
I'm going to say that stereotype, that trope, has not aged well into 2025.
That's just a constant.
It's a constant. Like, I dare any of y'all to go on the job hunt right now. It's difficult. You're not going to find something you want. And if you do, you're not going to get paid what you need. I'm going to save that rant for later.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'll take the soapbox back and talk about my peanut theory.
Yeah.
So, peanut theory.
Yes. No, I heard it too.
Okay, cool. Because they do specify another human organ in the trial, and they keep saying it over and over again for jokes.
We're not going to.
Well, no. And I even like how Abe Vigoda stamps his gavel and laughs along with it.
Yep.
But besides the point. So he is scratching off classic, oh, hey, look, I've done all these job interviews, and it's only 2 p.m. or whatever. Goes, animal lab testing. We'll pay for your animals. Which Peanut, by the way, is a chihuahua?
A very scruffy-looking, messed-up-looking chihuahua.
Possibly,
that has clearly seen some stuff.
Possibly Tesla's great-great-uncle?
Great-uncle? Yeah,
I like specified great-uncle.
I like great-uncle for Tesla, because the color doesn't match, but the vibe does.
The hair, too. The hair, too. So, he whines and growls at it.
Yep.
And, which, by the way, Peanut lives in his bag?
Yep.
Growls at it,
I think,
and
permanently.
Yeah, and Pauly Shore responds, "Oh, I won't get you to do that again."
Again.
Never specified or hinted why, but later in the movie, it's specified that he does love Jeopardy.
Yep.
And if whatever it's on, it has to be, you know, it has to watch it.
Yes. It's the Pavlovian bell for Peanut.
Yeah. So my theory is that they made him watch Jeopardy over and over and over again. And when he didn't get Jeopardy, he could change the channel to Jeopardy.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how they got him. It was a control test
and
not a double
well.
Blind study. Yeah. So that, and also you might have missed this while we were laughing at Stanley Tucci.
Probably.
But Pauly Shore,
a handful of times where Stanley Tucci way overacts. Before the big twist happens, that I'm not going to reveal yet, again, but the big twist does involve Stanley Tucci. Up until that point, he is playing the character you probably hoped he would play in this movie, which is the smartest person in the room.
But now he's the most annoyed person in the room.
Yes.
So, Tia Carrera, and by the way, Tia Carrera's in it.
Yep.
Nani fame, and also Cassandra.
Wayne's girlfriend.
Cassandra.
I recognized her face as Wayne's girlfriend, but then I heard her voice and went, I know that voice from Lilo and Stitch.
Exactly. Nice. So, literally, he has, Pauly Shore's character has a peanut call, which is just Pauly Shore just...
Sorry, headphone listeners.
I guess I would say... Is he scatting at that point? Would that be even the closest thing possible?
I don't know if you can say that on this show.
Okay, cool. A general...
No, the music term, scatting, but it'd be about a... Yeah,
right.
It's just making... It's musical gibberish in rhythm. I don't think that's what it is.
Okay, cool.
I think it's the same as if GLaDOS or I went... to get Bunker's attention.
And the Honorable Tesla did pick up his ear.
Yeah. That's just dog language.
Yeah. So... specified. Oh, hey.
Did your dog, if you have us on speakers, did your dog perk up their ears too? I want to know, actually. Please let us know at cinemagems15@gmail.com. I'm actually curious.
Please email us. We would love to hear from you guys. We love interaction between listeners.
We haven't got, I don't think we've gotten any dog pictures or recipes, food recipes,
no, we have
human
not.
Food recipes.
I would love to get a recipe.
in a while. So please email us at cinemagems15@gmail.com.
Yeah. So he specifies, what time is it to Cassandra?
Yeah.
And she goes, 5:30. He goes, oh no, Jeopardy's on. So it is an addiction. It is an addiction and a need. And Peanut was on the way to save the day and heard the Jeopardy theme. Alex Trebek.
So the whole premise of this movie is Paulie Shore, Tommy Collins, being an unemployed dude who can't find any kind of job, being selected for jury duty or falling into jury duty somehow.
Yeah, out of the dumpster and kisses the
right
the jury duty thing.
And realizes that through the process of this trial, which is a full-blown murder trial.
Would you think it should be federal at that point?
It should be federal, and it should be a lot more locked down than it is in this movie. Like, the mistrial would have happened a very short way into the process of this particular trial. Like, the first time Paulie Shore spoke up in that jury room would have been a mistrial on the spot.
So, but basically, he was doing to make
everything to elongate this process and draw it out because it's better than he's ever been treated.
Before that, they weirdly like try them out for every jury, yeah. every trial that's happening on that day. They shuffle them in the room and he gets kicked out, which is weird.
It's not how it works.
Correct.
At least the one or two times I've been called for jury duty, and I've sat on zero juries because I get weeded out usually in the first wave. But that's not how jury selection works, I'm pretty sure.
Nope.
Across the board. So this movie is obviously a satire. It's obviously a spoof. It's obviously playing fun with the process.
Loosey-goosey.
Very loosey-goosey with the process. And the rest of the jurors are miserable because he's drawing it out as long as possible.
Because he gets a special room from the guy from High School Musical 2.
The guy who owns the country club in High School Musical 2.
Or, if you're an older millennial like me, it is going to be Officer Kirkwood from Homeward Bound.
Also, yes. Same actor.
And Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Same actor. That relationship's weird.
The firmest.
There's a lot of relationships that are weird in this movie.
So he gets a special condo suite room because he's literally getting off the juror bus because they're sequestered, as they should be, in a hotel that obviously doesn't care and gives them the wing that they're being worked on right now. So he has advertisement and he advertises and the phones are ringing. So he gets a special room because he did help that work, and he gets videotapes to learn about being a juror and talk about words so he can make it elongated. Yeah. This process.
Yeah.
And Tia Carrera calls and's like, I can't believe you did that. And I'm sorry, this is the most, I think this is how Paulie Shore does a monologue for when he's trying out for movies, like auditioning.
Very likely.
He literally just plays whatever's on TV and recites it on the phone with an almost,
yes,
an attempt at acting.
So he recites the main spiel from 12 Angry Men verbatim as it's playing on the
TV. Is that 12 Angry Men?
That is 100%. That was Henry Fonda in 12 Angry Men.
I've never seen that movie fully.
I've had to watch it a few times, several times all the way through, because I was in the play 12 Angry Men in high school. I played the Russian guy.
You do look very Russian-esque. No offense.
It wasn't about looks. They put a hilarious mustache and Fred Rogers friggin' cardigan on me. In high school, I was typecasted as the accent guy. I wonder why.
It fits.
Yeah, I know.
It tracks.
I know. Don't worry. I'm keeping you all safe from my terrible accents. I've saved them for my D&D groups.
So.
Yes.
That one, by the way, that review is coming up in a couple of years. I have that on.
Yes, I know. I saw it on the thing.
Yeah. So he recites the 12 Angry Men speech, and Tia Carrera feels like upset about it. Which, by the way, this happens
way late in the movie.
Like, it's 30 minutes left of the movie, and the movie's an hour and 28 minutes.
Yeah.
And
so, like, two-thirds into this movie, Paulie Shore decides to pull a 12 Angry Men and flip the jury and make everyone go non-guilty on the verdict, and somehow in that process causes a mistrial.
Because he isn't sequestered anymore from the juror. That's why he was sequestered mistrial. But he actually finds out that the guy who was caught wasn't the killer. The actual killer is.
I thought it was weird that they kept using the taser as a murder weapon. Tasers very famously don't murder people most of the time, or at least that's what they're intended for. They're not intended to murder, they're intended to stun. They are probably misused all the time, let's
John
be
Oliver
real.
told me.
They're probably misused all the time and abused all the time. But I thought it was weird that they featured the taser as the main murder weapon and going, this guy killed five fast food workers. Oh, there's one small detail we forgot to mention about this movie. Pauly Shore's weird stepdad, who is way too into reverse environmentalism, that is, collecting as many styrofoam containers, aka Kane's trash.
AKA, as he calls it, white gold.
White gold, styrofoam clamshell containers.
And he's also one of the commanders from, so sorry to walk over you,
Yes.
one of the commanders from Austin Powers.
Yes, he
So
is.
sorry,
That's
go ahead.
100% where I recognize that weird guy from. I thought he was also from some Adam Sandler movies, but I was wrong about that.
I stopped after Austin Powers, so he could be. Go ahead.
So that is the reason he puts together that all five of the fast food establishments, that, by the way, the Admiral took a picture on his phone of each of their uniforms, each of their weird mascot costumes.
And
All four or five fast food restaurants
four.
where someone was murdered by this guy, supposedly, all used styrofoam clamshell containers. So Pauly Shore puts together the idea that the person who did these murders had to have been doing it out of environmentalist radicalism? Question mark?
And Stanley Tucci is
Well,
amazing in it.
yeah. He accidentally stumbles upon Stanley Tucci murdering someone else.
So do you want to know the
Queen.
four movies? The four movies, the four,
Fast food, fictional fast food restaurant.
the Beef Shack,
I'm surprised Movies wasn't one of them.
Pirate Pete's. Now my
Yeah.
question about Pirate Pete's, do they do seafood or do they do like something else? Like,
I have no idea.
because look at that outfit.
I have no idea.
You got to tell me that that might be seafood theme because they got a little anchor.
It's somehow lower budget than Patchy the Pirate.
Yeah, that's Patchy the Pirate's brother.
Yep.
And then you have Falafel Friends.
Falafel Friends.
Yeah, and then Wiener Boy, who
Poor girl.
this poor girl was given the script, and when
She did her best.
she was told she was Wiener Boy, I'm pretty sure she probably cried into her pillow, showed up to the scene. And gave it her all
Yep.
because she did a phenomenal job of what she was given.
She gave it her all. She really did her best. Like she went in there and was like, you know what? Check's a check. Let's go
I
for it.
love her last response. And he said, I wish this wiener was you. And cries. Sorry. Oh, and then Peanut gets a dog bowl of popcorn.
Yep.
Which, by the way, I'm just letting all the listeners out there,
No, please don't.
don't do that. And also, that's not what the dogs do.
Yeah, no.
They have their little tiny bowl of dog food that they have next to them while we
Frida's
watch the movie.
looking at me with those eyes. She's being so good.
We
I'm
did
sorry, y'all. I'm distracted because I'm the one with the dogs in the studio this week. I never get this privilege. Frida, you want to come up? Frida,
go,
you want to come
go,
up?
Frida. Oh, she's
Oh, good
stretching.
stretch.
So.
Good
And we
stretch.
also get a name drop of the movie within 10 minutes of the movie starting.
We do. It was under 10 minutes before we
I
heard
think it was
Pauly Shore say
9:33 or
very
something.
pretty. Come on, Priya. Close your eyes.
So, look, this is not the best Pauly Shore movie,
Absolutely not.
but the music,
I'm not sure there is a good Pauly Shore movie.
yeah, Encino Man, where he's not the main character,
Oh no, that's fair, because Brendan Fraser.
and Samwise.
Oh, you're right, Sean Astin.
And also, you know who else is in that movie? Short round.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I did want to thank you for at least launching the segue of the music in this movie.
The 1970 spy thriller where Peanut comes to save him.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. That, to me, that was the best part. Besides the William Tell 1812 Overture.
William Tell Overture.
And the Alleluia.
From the Alleluia chorus from Handel's Messiah. Yeah.
Yes. Which both of those are obviously not original. They were probably played by said composer.
They were probably either taken from a reference recording that is now public domain.
Right.
Or re-recorded with a studio symphony. On a tighter budget with less instruments, as often happens.
And who did the music?
So the music for this movie was, quote unquote, excuse me, composed by loose possible terms for this movie, by David Kitte. David Kitte also served as the composer for, are you ready for this? Where do I start? It's a list. Jury Duty, Clueless, Scary Movie, Dude, Where's My Car, Cadet Kelly, Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off, Bad Santa, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. I think he has a type.
Stoner movies?
I think that's kind of his thing. Stoner movies. Home Alone, The Holiday Heist, as well as, and I know it was on here, Where'd It Go? Frickin' Camp Rock.
Wait, hold on. You forgot Boris and Natasha the movie.
Boris and Natasha the movie.
You forgot Surf Ninjas.
Yep.
You so far got The Stoned Age?
Yep.
That's not even being like Nuns on the Run, The Night Stalker.
2008, Camp Rock. There we go. The same year as Wieners.
State movie?
So that's just the vibe. That's just to give you the vibe of the music that David Kitte. I'm sorry, it sounds too much like someone overemphasizing kitty, but like pronouncing it wrong. Like I've heard people pronounce Target Tarjay.
Yeah. Maybe he did Ghost World.
I live in New Orleans.
He did Ghost World.
Yeah. So that's the vibe of the work that David Kitte usually works on.
Okay, so I have seen Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off. I have seen that one.
Stoner spoof movie.
Stuck in the Suburbs?
Yep. So yeah, thank you, David Kitte, I guess. Also, sorry, headphone users. I saw that.
Sorry. So, I don't know about you, but that 1970 spy thriller, like the little...
I don't know what movie that was from, where they pulled that from, or if it was composed for the movie.
I think it might have been a ripoff of, not Shaft, but like the type of movies that were, that Shaft was stolen from.
Yeah.
Like that style of movie. So, so my problem with this movie.
We're not going to draw out this review like the movie draws itself out for way too long.
Which, by the way, thank you for saying that. Which, by the way, this movie, I feel like the movie made the movie and then realized that they only had a certain time limit and had two different editors edit this film.
I think so.
Where they had one editor that did 90% of it, got fired, and then go, oh, wait, we got to finish this movie real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Stanley Tucci's the killer. Peace out. Bye. And then Pauly Shore talks about everybody's name while the credits are going up.
Yep.
And he went back to his uncle's erotic dancer place and became, and the tips he made on that day, he became a lawyer because he went to law school, apparently.
I guess. But the best part is Peanut, who actually goes on Jeopardy and wins a lot of money.
$11,000.
How?
And meets Alex Trebek.
I mean, good for him, but how?
He just probably just taps it. Like, yes, so, one for yes, two for no.
I'm so happy for Peanut.
So,
but that was Jury Duty.
Yeah, it was. It was Jury Duty. Yeah.
We got through it.
Yeah. But that's how you should end every jury case. It's just clap. So, for my show, I'm gonna ask you, since it's you, and you seem to be in a sorts.
No, I'm good. This movie is just...
So for the 30th anniversary of Jury Duty from 1995... We have a rating system here in Cinema Gems. Full Gem and Amazing Movie, half Gem and All Right Movie, No, Jim, a horrible move. But Maestro, what do you give Jury Duty from 1995?
For me, the two things that saved this movie from being no gem at all are Peanut and Stanley Tucci. It's a half gem. It's barely a half gem, but it's a half gem. It is, you have to, if you know what you're getting into, if you have a way to be inebriated and enjoy this in passing, it could be fun background noise.
It's a great, like we did today, we hung out together and we haven't hung out in a while.
It's a great movie to hang out with a friend and do MST3K with your friend. And roast a movie that is just bad on purpose.
And we decided to have two dogs, where in the movie they only have one.
Yep.
I don't like it. I like it a little bit more as you, but I'm not saying, like, it's amazing. I think it's a solid half gem for the reasons that we watched it together, and also it's a movie that you can just kick back and
watch. We might be biased because you and I can have a fun time watching any garbage movie.
Yeah. And also, Pauly Shore does like four or five accents that were probably then
very offensive, but at those times, slightly offensive.
Now,
by modern standards, incredibly, like, instantly cancelable.
Yes, 100%. So, guys, look, watch this movie if you can. I suggest it if you just want to veg out, relax, inebriated.
Inebriation of your choosing, but I would recommend it.
And. This is the descent of the Pauly Shore career. Like, yep. This and then Biodomes afterwards. And
was he already a voice in Goofy Movie by the time he was in this?
So they came out this the same year.
Okay.
Goofy Movie came out the same year.
Okay.
So I say he probably did that while editing this at the very end when the first editor quit.
Okay.
Let's be honest. He edited the second part.
Yeah.
And probably the same way he did when he recited the 12 Angry Men, that's probably how he recorded his lines for a Goofy Movie.
Yeah.
While editing Jury Duty.
Very likely.
So,
yeah.
It's a movie where we just say, relax, don't take it seriously.
Don't take it too seriously.
But also know what you're getting into.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, okay, so we're kind of, I guess, pivot from there.
Before we kind of pivot away from there to the one last thing we wanted to talk about today, as always, we have to encourage you. What did you think of our take on this movie? Please let us know by emailing us at cinemagems15@gmail.com. What did we miss in ranting about Jury Duty? How did we do in keeping a very R-rated movie, slightly PG-rated for the purposes of this podcast?
I think that was PG-13.
Did all right.
No. I think the movie was PG-13.
There are some things about it that are very much not PG-13, but
now we
brush past them.
Now, but back in the day, I feel like it was passable. But that's besides.
Email us, what'd you think? Yeah. As the Admiral likes to quote me, we want to be the show that you want to listen to.
So did you just quote yourself?
Yes.
I like how you do.
Because we're in my studio, I'm doing it right.
Wow.
And I did push up my glasses.
Wow. On that note, good night, Dead Tom.
Good night, Dead Tom. Before we sign off completely, though, we did want to mention one unfortunate thing on a list of very unfortunate things that happened this week. But we're going to mention one particular unfortunate passing.
So after recording the podcast with you last week.
Yeah.
I woke up to the news of Val Kilmer's passing.
Yeah.
I swear to you, for 2 seconds, I thought it was an April Fool's joke.
I thought so, too, because it was on April, or the day after April Fool's Day. Yeah.
Well,
I didn't take it seriously at first either.
I'll look it up in a second, but it took me a second to realize. Two Batman are dead, man.
Yeah. Oof.
He is great. He's great as Batman. I know as Batman gets... like crapped on a lot.
He's a good Batman in a bad Batman movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't necessarily a good Bruce Wayne.
He was a good Batman.
He was an all right Batman. An all right Batman in a bad Batman movie.
Have you watched
Batman Forever?
No, Val Kilmer Lives. Kilmer Lives.
No,
it's a documentary about his life that his son narrates, and it goes through all kinds of his different avenues of films. They talked a lot about Batman, and he loved Batman as a child. Like, kid, he's loved Batman. But Maestro, he hated being Batman because no one talked to him. No one talked to him. Dang. Because he was in the suit and he couldn't hear anything.
Dang, that's rough.
He was also
really rough.
He's also in Top Gun. Let's talk about Top Gun. He's in Top Gun. I don't love that movie as much as most people.
I still have not watched the whole thing. Nor its sequel.
You know what? Just watch it. Just watch the first one for Val Kilmer. Just watch the first one for Val Kilmer. Just skip past the Tom Cruise parts. You're fine. Willow.
We also reviewed Top Secret not all that long ago.
That was last year.
Yeah.
Right before... Was it before? It was a couple months before James Bond month last year.
I believe so.
I think we had might have tail dived into it with that. Whatever.
I think so.
But Val Kilmer is an amazing performance. And yes, a lot of people found him annoying, like the Island of Dr. Moreau movie where it's horrible. And
he was one of those actors that came from a place they definitely learned and had drilled into them. You give 100% to every performance and everything around it.
Exactly. And in the Kilmer Lives documentary, he talks about how he would record himself for his future self to look at and see. And he was recording on the set of The Island of Dr. Moreau. And the director actually stopped filming and goes, "You need to put it down.
Yeah.
You need to put it down. Please stop recording." He's like, "Why? It's not on. It's recording. It's not recording." He's like, "Why is the red light on?" And I am not saying that Kilmer was in the wrong, but the director didn't have to overreact
right
to that.
Right.
But we don't know the situation. It's a shame that he died this early, but he wasn't able to get out of bed for 5 years by my show. So I'm glad he went peacefully, as peacefully as he could.
Yep. It's a sad loss. But I think on that note...
He's also in Tombstone!
Please email us at cinemagems15@gmail.com. What's your most memorable Val Kilmer movie? Favorite Val Kilmer performance?
It's a toss-up between Top Secret and...
Batman Forever.
No, Batman Forever.
Well, while the Admiral tries to rack his brain for which one he remembers.
Willow!
Oh, Willow, for sure, Mad Mardigan. Let us know. We want to know what you think as well. But that pretty much does it for us today in the store. Now, look, y'all know how we do things in a wibbly-wobbly order. And later this week, while the Admiral is still in town, we're going to do next week's show, which, as we mentioned earlier, we mentioned the director for it earlier. I wonder who caught it.
And we mentioned earlier that
we have a special guest on for that one. So I'm going to figure out how the heck we're going to set up the microphones for that one.
The dogs will not be in this episode. Mainly because I've already made plans after we're done recording to go see a long friend that...
Yes.
I want to go see. But that's beside. Thank you so much for hosting. Thank you so much for hosting. Our hands are touching again.
Yep. Thank you for being here, Admiral.
Oh, thanks, bud. We just want to be, as we said before, we want to be the podcast that you want to listen to. Please email us at cinemagems15@gmail.com. Let us know what movie you want us to review. And also, Marty and the Arrogant Observer, thank you for allowing us to be on your website, lowrangpictures.com. Also, Kevin George, thank you for letting us use your music. But my show, anything else before we go?
Thank you, as always, to our amazing Swapper Jacks friends and family members, as well as our lovely Cinemaniacs who email us and give us input. We love it. Keep it coming. Thank you all so much. Remember to be kind to yourself. Drink water if you haven't already during the course of the show. Drink some water.
I'll drink water right now. Okay. Cheers. All right, I'll drink real quick.
Go for a drink. Wherever you're listening to this from, thank you for letting us be part of your day. And however you're doing right now, I'm proud of you.
We did it.
Proud of you.
We did it, people. Just remember to take time for yourself before you can help others. And also, guys, remember that Black lives
always
matter, guys. Bye, guys. See you later.
We still can't line up the always, even when we're right next to each other. Bye, y'all.
Dogs are reacting.